Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football, presented by BKCW. I'm your host, Blake Monroe, where I'm joined each and every morning by Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton. Tell us where you're checking in from, what you're drinking. Be sure to get those questions in. We'll get to those here in just a little bit. But first, let's talk about the hot topic, guys. Besides the spring game, of course, which is tomorrow, we'll get into that here in a second. But the portal, so much going on right now. A lot of names being thrown out there. Kids from all over the country entering the portal. Who's Texas interested in, and what's the latest?
Yeah, so I think, the portal got so hot the last 2 days, my feet are on fire back here, man. I'm, like, stepping up and stepping down. But, look, Jay Toya from UCLA went in the portal, or announced he was going in the portal yesterday. Texas is all in on Jay Toya, defensive lineman from UCLA, 6'2", 325. Originally was going to go to USC in high school, ended up at UCLA. He was recruited by Johnny Nansen out of high school. Then Nansen went from USC to UCLA, coached him for a year before going to Arizona. And I said all that to say this, there's a lot of connections there with Toya and his family and Johnny Nansen, who's now the co-defensive coordinator at Texas. So big news for Texas. I expect him on campus. When that happens, we'll see. But I think Texas is a major player for Jay Toya, who went in the portal yesterday. Bill Norton from Arizona, the zero tech tilt player who played 180 snaps in the A-gaps last year for Arizona. He's on campus right now, beginning his visit. He got in late last night. Obviously, he was out of Christian Brothers in Memphis out of high school, signed with Georgia, picked up a couple of national title rings as a reserve player in Athens, headed to Tucson, Arizona last year. Had a really good season. I think Bobby would agree that we'd be surprised if he doesn't end up at Texas. And then the third guy is Dominic Williams. And no, it's not demonic. Dominic Williams from TCU, originally from the Southern California area as well, went in the portal in Oklahoma. He'll be visiting there this weekend for the spring game. He'll head to Texas next Tuesday and Wednesday. Then he's also got a couple other visits scheduled, Colorado and LSU. So we'll see how far into this process Dominic Williams goes. But the interesting thing there is Dominic Williams camped at Texas, a little bit behind me here, in before his senior season. And he had a really good camp. Texas didn't offer him at the time. But he has turned out to be a tremendous player. And not just Texas. A lot of the Blue Bloods didn't offer him at the time. He was a little undersized for some people. He goes to TCU. He's been one of the best zero techs in the Big 12. And probably in the country in reality. And he's in the portal now. And look, there's some connections there. Obviously, he's camped at Texas. Johnny Nansen recruited him a little bit out of high school. Sarkisian, there's familiarity there. Then on the LSU side, obviously, Bo Davis pushed to get him to camp at Texas. So there's some connections there as well. But I think this is an Oklahoma-Texas little Red River battle for Dominic Williams. But we'll see where it ends up, Bobby. But that's three very good players in the portal. Now, I think there's a difference. Will Norton, really good player. Dominic Williams and Jay Toya are future NFL draft picks.
I agree. And I want to say this, though. Bill Norton, as it relates to him, the young man out of Arizona, by way of Memphis, Tennessee, and the University of Georgia, C.J. Vogel, our C.J. Vogel at On Texas Football, reporting that Norton is already on campus this morning, yes. Jerry, where you're at. I've got to say this, by the
way. Maybe he'll walk by.
No, I've got to say this. There are no students behind you, in part because nobody takes 8 a.m. classes. All the teachers are coming in behind you with the cars behind you there.
Well, there was a little ROTC over here right before the show, and I was like, am I on the right campus? Did I take a wrong turn this morning at 6:30? I wasn't sure, but I think we're good.
No, but Bill Norton already on campus. CJ reported that. Toya is going to be a grad transfer. That's an important distinction. He's going to get his degree from UCLA and then be able to enter wherever he chooses, probably in the month of June. He may choose before then, hopefully, because Texas obviously going to be involved. Jerry mentioned that. Texas is extremely interested in him and extremely interested also in Dominic Williams, young man out of TCU. Jerry, you mentioned this. The interesting thing I found on Williams, we had heard OU Texas. Then he adds a visit to Colorado. Well, Colorado looks like, I don't know what to say right now, but half the team is entering the transfer portal. This may just be what what Deion Sanders' MO is.
Hey, look, he better hurry up and get up there. It's only the Sanderses are going to be there. He better hurry up.
LSU. LSU and then Missouri or Oregon also. But we don't know how long he's going to carry this out either, right? I mean, we don't know if he's going to play this out, et cetera. So we will see how that works out. All in all, a lot of action in the portal very early, by the way. This is just a weekend. I mean, We're not even a full week, right, Jerry?
The big August spring games are this weekend. The big spring games really start this weekend in bulk, in numbers.
Yes. So April 16th, and here we are April 19th, and already there's two big name guys or three guys that Texas has identified in the portal in 4 days. Simultaneously, we need to mention, we'd be remiss, we didn't mention the four guys that have gone into the portal for Texas at this point. Jamon Tapp, the latest, a young man out of Donaldson, Louisiana. We talked about him yesterday. Samaje Burrell, linebacker. Billy Walton, defensive end, edge guy, as well as offensive lineman Peyton Kirkland. Jerry, interestingly, I think, what, does that make two guys from the 2023 class and two guys from the 2022 class? Is that right?
I believe that's right.
Yeah. And so a little bit of attrition there, but not unexpected. We are hearing there's going to be more attrition. But again, we do not know whether or not it will cut too deep, if that makes sense. That's the hope as of right now. Some other news happening on campus. There's a Longhorn Advisory Council meeting this morning. That'll last. Sark will speak in front of them. CDC will come speak to them. It's a group of about 100 Longhorns that donate to the University of Texas. Then out at the golf course, University of Texas golf course, there's a Longhorn Letterman's reunion. I think that scramble started around 7:45 this morning. There'll be 100 or so former Longhorn Lettermen out there playing golf before the spring game. I ran into Coach David McWilliams yesterday, talked to him a little bit. He'll be out there seeing the guys for lunch. I saw him and his son yesterday at the facility and talked to him for a little bit. So it is spring game time is my point here. And not only is there portal recruiting, but there's Letterman returning to campus. There's some official business going on right now. A lot of stuff going on the 40 acres and happy to be in Austin. By the way, I got to say this. We always talk about coffee here. I'm staying off of South First right now. South Austin, and I went to this coffee place this morning called Foxtrot. Good place to get a cup of coffee in the morning if you're down on South Perth.
There's a couple of questions about the D lineman Hakeem. I won't pronounce his last name from U of H with the portal. Not a name that I've heard with Texas, but I can say it's another Hakeem leaving the University of Houston without a title. So there is that.
Oh, that as a Houstonian. I actually was rooting for U of H back then in my youth.
Is what it is.
Yeah. Him and Clyde the Glide and Michael Young and Larry Meshaw. That was a team, man. That was a team of my youth. Jim Valvano ripped it from my heart. Hey, I want to ask you another.
Shane Petty's got the key question coming up, but go ahead.
Wait. Before we do that, I want to say this. People are asking about a defensive tackle or defensive lineman out of Michigan State as well. He is saying he's interested in Texas. As of right now, we cannot confirm that the interest is mutual. Now, with Jay Toya and Dominic Williams, the interest is mutual as well as Bill Norton. So keep that kind of in the in your pocket there. We cannot confirm mutual interest on the Michigan State defensive tackle.
Hey, Blake, let's start this Friday off with putting Bobby on the spot. Zane Petty, 8:19.
Oh, gosh. Y'all are killing me here. Bobby, when we sign two defensive tackles, are you predicting 12-0?
No. No, I will never predict 12-0. Look, what does that happen? Once every 30 years for Texas? I mean, look.
How many undefeated seasons did Nick Saban have in the SEC with unbelievable talent?
Yeah, I'm good with Texas being one of the favorites, though I will add that. My thought process has always been 10 wins and up right now for this program going forward. I think that Sark is taking it to that level where 10 and up, my wife, how long have you been working on that one, Jerry? 10 and up is the number that I think we want for Texas. That is absolutely what we want. And I don't mean that to say that they shouldn't be competing for titles at the same time or to give Steve Sarkisian an out. Some people would say that we would, if I would have said that to Mack Brown, that's giving Mack Brown an out, right? He was the king of 10 wins, but didn't necessarily get as many championships, conference championships, as you might want. My take on that is let's get Texas back to where 10 wins is an assumption, right? That's really where things take off and everything changes, I guess.
Like Brian, I agree with
starting
that.
To build on stuff as opposed to trying to build up to anything. I mean, that's the reality of it.
All right, guys, before we move on, Bobby, can you tell folks out there about our sponsor, BKCW?
Yeah, absolutely. Good friends of ours, and we appreciate their sponsorship, long-term sponsorship of On Texas Football. Did your business have a frustrating insurance or employee benefits renewal? Most likely you didn't hear from your agent all year, and then right before it was time to renew, they delivered the bad news of a rate increase. When this happens, the agent is providing no value to you, and you're stuck in what we call the insurance trap. BKCW takes your business out of the insurance trap by providing you with actual risk management consulting, not just price quoting. Operating out of its headquarters in Austin and owned by UT grads, BKCW uses a five-step process to identify your business's weak spots, design a plan, execute it, and monitor your situation. BKCW has already helped some of the most well-known construction companies, restaurant groups, breweries, nonprofits in Central Texas escape the insurance trap. And it all starts with a free risk assessment. So for your business, if you want to get out of the insurance trap, and you've been there, I've been there, where I get told at the last minute something has to change without even being able to really weigh my options, go to bkcw.com or send an email to info@bkcw.com. to get started with a free risk assessment.
There we go. I want to thank them for sponsoring each and every Friday right here on Coffee and Football. And obviously a lot going on in the portal, a lot going on with high school recruiting as well. Jerry, can you tell folks about that?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Not somebody that's visiting this weekend, but I posted some morning recruiting nuggets on ontexasfootball.com. Go over there and be an OTFOG member. But Damian Shanklin, a little interesting news. I think it was kind of starting to trickle out, but I exchanged some messages with Damian Shanklin, the four-star edge out of Warren Central in Indianapolis last night. That he has an official visit scheduled to Texas June 21st through 23rd. Notre Dame had been considered the leader for months in that recruitment. Notre Dame, he's no longer going to the spring game, no longer has an official visit there. It's Ohio State May 31st through June 2nd. Tennessee, June 14th through 16th. Texas, June 21st through 23rd. He's in regular contact with PK and Sark, one of four edge prospects that are ranked four-star or better that have official visits scheduled to Texas. So that was one interesting note. Doesn't have anything to do with this weekend. Blake, I don't know if you can pull up the expected visitors list for this weekend. We'll see if that changes. Zion Williams also possibility to come in this weekend. He's expected to. I think some two or three of these guys may fall by the wayside. As always, Kelshawn Johnson from Hitchcock told me yesterday, him and his mom are coming in Saturday. They leave Saturday morning. I think he may do a little bit in the regional track meet today, but he's coming in to Austin tomorrow, so add him to the list. Obviously, Keelan Russell, KJ Lacey are going to get the majority of chatter about that this weekend, but the two quarterbacks, one Lacey committed to Texas, longtime commitment, Keelan Russell coming down with his father and a couple of family members tonight. So we'll see what happens there. Then you look over at the bottom right, James Simon, the running back from Shreveport Calvary Christian. His father is the offensive coordinator at Grambling. He's coming in for a visit. He told me yesterday he has an official visit scheduled to Texas. He has not released the date yet on his official visits. With his recruitment, that's interesting. There's twofold with Texas here. First, LSU took two running backs already in this class. Harlan Berry was a no-brainer. You were going to take him. But then they took JT Lindsey out of Alexandria last weekend at the spring game. And on tape, by the way, JT Lindsey's very good. That guy can run. He can flat-out run. Pick him up and put him down. But that means LSU has two running back commitments in the class. And then from the Texas side, there's Jordan Davison. Is Jordan Davison feeling Ohio State more than Texas? Is the depth chart at Texas maybe caught up, finally caught up with them on a big-time recruit? We'll find out. But if Texas makes a big push for James Simon this weekend, you will have your answer on Jordan Davison. And then the linebackers coming in, I think, are just a great group now. Not good, great group. Elijah Barnes and his family get into town tonight. Riley Pettijohn, Nasir Wyatt. Guys, I mean, we could throw up all the huddles. We did it yesterday. We don't need to do that. But you don't find three better linebacker prospects on a campus at one time than these guys. I mean, even Nick Saban's blushing from Jupiter Beach right now on this one. The Elijah Barnes, Pettijohn, and Nasir Wyatt are big-time, big-time players. Nasir Wyatt, this is a key visit here. He doesn't have an official visit date released yet. And normally how this goes, this spring game visit's big in locking up that official visit and seeing where that recruitment goes. Oregon, Tennessee, Alabama, they're all in it for Nasir Wyatt. But he's a different prospect than Barnes and Pettijohn. He is really good playing off the edge, guys. I mean, he's a very natural playing off the edge. Riley Pettijohn, Elijah Barnes, two of the best in-state guys that have been produced in a little while.
All right, y'all. Good stuff there, Jerry. And obviously everybody coming in for the spring game. Lots of excitement for that spring game tomorrow. Of course, every day we've been kind of monitoring the weather. Today being no different. And guys, that rain's still there. If anything, I think the chances are actually a little higher today. But everything's still a go as of right now, correct?
Yeah, the hope is that lightning holds off, right? That's the hope. I mean, because lightning is what could just, I mean, there's rain. Now, you don't want to get somebody hurt because you're playing in the rain, right? And all of a sudden they start slipping around, et cetera. But lightning would be the cause of a cancellation. That's the big piece of it. I hope that Texas is able to get it in. I do have some notes. Like, for instance, I was told that there's going to be some guys not there on Saturday, but it's for good reason. You just have to trust me on this. Vernon Broughton not going to play on Saturday is what I'm being told, but it's for a very good reason. I'll let him tell folks about why that is, et cetera, when the time is right. Some other guys may be out with dinged up and injuries and not going to risk it. But long story short, we're excited to be there tomorrow. We're going to be at the victory lap from 11 a.m. to 12 a.m. tomorrow. Also got a lot of recruiting news going to be coming up. There's just a lot of stuff going on in and around the university. And rain is not going to stop us. And it's not going to stop the University of Texas either. The question is, the only one that would is lightning, is what I'm being told right now.
At Thunder Chili, great comment. It's 8:30 Friday. Walton's still not listed in the portal officially. Billy Walton talking about.
Hey, I told y'all, this is what I, right, Jerry? I mean, we talked about this. Last week, he had a conversation with Texas. He and his parents had a conversation with Texas. And the understanding was he was going to come back. Yeah. Things happen and, you know, whatever. Apparently he announced that he's going in the portal on Monday. We'll see if he follows through with that. As of right now, we expect him still to go in the portal, but you just don't know because I think he was waffling one way or the other. As I said previously, Texas has felt like there was a path to get him on the field this year and then be a really big piece of the puzzle in 2025. So, you know, this is a part of the ebb and flow and ups and downs roller coaster of being covering college football right now with the transfer portal. Talking about ebb and flow and up and down of the transfer portal, the ruling out of Virginia yesterday. I don't know how much, I know Jerry knows a little bit about this, but Blake and everybody else here, the state of Virginia passed legislation yesterday that will allow universities to pay players directly for their NIL, not just facilitate it,
wow,
but pay it. Now, this is the issue. The NCAA has said, I don't care what to date, the NCAA said, I don't care what state rules are. If you want to compete for NCAA championships, then you're going to have to abide by NCAA rules. So that puts them in direct conflict with the NCAA. However, what's going to happen here is, if you remember right, Virginia and Tennessee were the two states that filed against the NCAA in a court that they could not restrict a player's rights to financial inducements for recruiting. Okay. So Virginia has already been successful in federal court against the NCAA. If Virginia solicitor goes against the NCAA yet again and reduces that, all hell's going to break loose in college football. And universities across the board will be able to do that. And it's going to be interesting exactly how that plays out.
Hey, doesn't that move it one step closer to being to players being employees of the state, essentially? That's what we're talking about here, Bobby, right?
Well, one of the things that's being bandied about in Virginia is actually buying their NIL rights, the players' NIL rights outright. And so they wouldn't necessarily have to be employees. You would literally be a pay for play.
Okay.
What we've talked about, but it's for NIL rights so that their names could be on the back of jerseys so that they can, you know, number 10 jersey. Look, how many times did you see a number 12 jersey that you knew was Colt McCoy, a number 10 that you knew was Vince Young, a number 34 that you knew was Ricky Williams over the years? I mean, number 3, that's Quinn Ewers now.
Yeah.
You know, so that's just a piece of it. And I know they cleared that, but they didn't really – they made it special as opposed to just broad-based. And I think that that's going to be interesting. I feel like my take on it is with the state of Virginia already having success in federal court against the NCAA, Virginia might be leading the way for the rest of the country right now and getting some rules passed that are going to affect, going to be far reaching because they've already had success against the NCAA. The NCAA may just say, we tried. And Katie, bar the door.
Hey, Blake, bring up David Keith Williams at 8:32 because he asked this yesterday and we didn't get around to it. And I want to answer that for him.
So which 2025 wide receiver do you think is the better prospect and better fit for Texas, Kalik Lockett or Jamie French? I think Lockett gets more acclaim, but I think French is better.
You know, so that's a great question because they're similar body types but different players. Jamie French, I think, is really good after the catch, really good short space quickness for his size. He can really move laterally and multiple times in short spaces. I'm a big, big Jamie French fan. I put him somewhere in between college C.D. Lamb and college A.D. Mitchell. So whatever's in between, that's a really damn good prospect. I think Kalik Lockett's got unbelievable body control. I think Jamie French may be a little bit faster of a player, but I think because Jamie French is so good after the catch that I would put him slightly ahead, just me. I am going to go see Jamie French in May. I've seen Kalik Lockett. I'm going to go see Jamie French in May. I'm going to make a run through the Sunshine State because why wouldn't you? And so I'm going to go. Jamie French is one of about 8 or 10 kids I'm going to go see in May, and I can't wait to see him at a spring practice.
Good stuff. All right, Bobby, before we move on, can you tell folks out there about Factor?
Yeah, I sure can, Blake. Thank you for the opportunity here. Factor is one of my favorite sponsors because I actually use them every time I'm home. I'm on the road, obviously, today down in South Austin, but eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Get chef-prepared meals on the table in 2 minutes with Factor's ready-to-eat meals so you can get back to what you love this spring or get back to work like I do. The speed and the tastiness and the healthiness of their meals are outstanding. I like to do it because it's literally no fuss, no mess meals. Factor eliminates the hassle of me needing to prep, cook, or clean up. All I have to do is simply heat and savor the good stuff. Head to factormeals.com/Texas50 and use code Texas50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's code Texas50 at factormeals.com/Texas50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. You can also pause your subscription like I'm doing right now when I'm on the road and then pick up the following week so you don't just accumulate a bunch of stuff in the fridge as well. So good stuff. Again, text code Texas50, factormeals.com.
All right, y'all, we got a couple of super chats that we need to get to. Then we'll get to some other questions as well. But first, I do want to read this comment from Michael Alvarado. Hey, guys, checking in from United Christ Hospital in Tyler, Texas. My baby girl is being born today. Congratulations, Michael. That's awesome.
Congrats, then, Michael, really.
We have a super chat here from Jay Lee. And Jay Lee says, did you guys see what Bob McGinn said about A.D. Mitchell wild stuff? In my opinion, it seems pretty specific and personal to all be made up.
So let's rehash, because not everybody has heard this, right, Jerry?
Yeah.
Let's rehash what exactly Jay Lee is referencing. There's an article published, and a scout basically said that A.D. Mitchell has type 1 diabetes and does not have good control of it. And as such, he becomes very irritable and very hard to coach on the field. All of that may be true. So that's fine. I felt like it was really interesting to say it a week before the draft and put it out there. This is stuff that, you know, Texas did deal with this. And I would say this, that even if that was going on behind the scenes, what receiver do you think, I don't know, do you think Tyler Owen or, Terrell Owens was easy to deal with behind the scenes? I'm not equating the two, but what about Dez Bryant? You know, it's more about where you go and what they put out in the product on the field, guys. And A.D. Mitchell was nothing more than outstanding for Texas, or nothing less than outstanding for Texas.
I want to say this. I don't think it'll help hurt his draft stock. All this stuff by this time is already well known. These teams have had retired police detectives out doing work on all these guys. I mean, look, there's somebody that's going to be in the draft next year for Texas that friends of the parent have already been contacted to ask about the player. That's how deep this process is these days, with so much on the line and so many millions of dollars invested. If Buffalo wants to take A.D. Mitchell at 28, what with that coming out isn't going to change it, because they already know it.
Yeah, and it doesn't change him as a player.
No.
It just changes the perception of him. That's my point. I mean, look, he's been fighting this apparently his entire career. Was A.D. Mitchell good enough, in y'all's opinion, to go in the first round after what you saw last year on the field? My answer would be yes. So how should that change anything other than, okay, we have to deal with the issues and he needs to get this right himself too? I mean, it didn't change his production. In fact, if he could get it under control, it might even improve his production even more. So there's more upside than maybe what you thought.
Look, I mean, let's say this. I want to say this too. If it was a quarterback, man, but here's the thing. Look at Caleb Williams, who's going first. He's going to go in the first pick of the draft, which still kind of baffles me. It's not the crying in the stands and everything else with Caleb Williams that worries me most if I'm drafting him number one. It's him giving up on plays. He gives up on too many plays as a quarterback to be a great player in the NFL. So to me, all the things that are said about him, is that concerning for me? Yeah, if I'm drafting number one, but it's how many plays he gives up on. That doesn't work in the NFL. So to that Bobby's point, A.D. Mitchell's play on the field is that of a first round pick for me. I question Caleb Williams' play on the field, that of a number one pick overall. It has nothing to do with him crying in the stands after a loss to whoever, Washington. But that wasn't good either.
Oh man, we got another super chat here from Travis. Thank you, Travis. He says, hook on from Rosenberg, looking forward to seeing y'all at Victory Lap tomorrow. Bobby, you gotta try the coffee at Arturo's Underground Cafe on 17th and Guadalupe.
Well, I'm headed to see Jerry right after this. He's over near campus, and so I may just do that next. That may be my next stop, Travis. I appreciate it.
Okay, and then bear with me, guys, because this is going to be kind of a multi-part question here. So let me get through it all. Doug Haywood, good morning. Please someone explain this to me. We have Broughton, Bryant, Mitchell, Bledsoe, Collins, Savea, and January at defensive tackle. Why do we need more defensive tackles? coach them up and visit and get them physically ready. I'm sorry, someone has to make it make sense to me. If I'm a high school recruited defensive tackle, I wonder if I'll get a shot to even get playing time because all the staff will do is recruit out of the transfer portal. What say you guys?
Put the list back up. Okay, let's talk about this list. All right. Vernon Broughton right now has had trouble anchoring against the run. Love Vernon Broughton as a Longhorn. Happy for him. All this other stuff, okay? Not a zero technique. Aaron Bryant, unproven. He's got basically, what, 50 snaps in his career? Not right now considered to be a future NFL player. Vernon Broughton, not considered to be a future NFL player, in my opinion. Sadir Mitchell, completely unreliable to this point in his career, right? I mean, extremely talented, completely unreliable and inconsistent. Jare Bledsoe is a tremendous prospect, and I think of that group so far, he may be the guy that's most likely to play in the NFL, but he's also a three technique. He's not a nose tackle. Alfred Collins, not a nose tackle. NFL possibilities, he's more of a three technique. Savea, more of a three. Played more snaps outside. Alex January, a true freshman. Now, I love Alex January. We've talked about, me and Jerry have talked about this over and over again. Okay? But I guarantee you his dad would even tell you, Mike, who played at Texas, look, my son can probably play and do stuff, but he needs time too. I mean, he's not the full-grown man he's going to be. That doesn't mean he can't help right now, to your point, Doug. But they need nose tackles. They need guys that can push the center back, that can hold the line. And right now, that guy, other than Aaron Bryant, may not be on the team because Sadir Mitchell, we don't know if he's going to be consistent enough. His weight's ballooned, et cetera. You've got the younger guy, Alex January, who's just now getting on campus. I mean, you've had him for 3 months. So my point to you, Doug, is you may have 7 or 8 defensive tackles. You may not have one at nose tackle right now.
And I would say this too.
40 or 50 snaps a game.
And I'll say this too. Texas wants to rotate 6 guys at that position. So to have the ideal depth to do that, Texas needs 2 guys to play over the ball. Else they're not going to have the rotation they want. But to Bobby's point, look, I think Bill Norton, if he comes to Texas, he's on campus. He hadn't walked by us yet. I was hoping he would, but he hadn't walked by. Maybe we'll get some photos of him later. But look, he played 178 snaps in the A-gap last year for Arizona. I think he's more of a piece on the Texas team next year that could provide some good snaps over the ball. Jay Toy and Dominic Williams are totally different guys. Those are future draft picks in my estimation. Those guys give you some time for Kenny Baker to develop some of those younger guys, but not develop them on the field where it may cost you a game or two or not making the playoff next year. Because, look, Texas is going after – and somebody asked earlier, would they take all three? I think if all three of those guys wanted to come, Texas would take them all. Yeah, because I think Texas knows they got a chance to hoist some trophy next year if they stay healthy, which is always the key in sports, right? But if they shore up that depth at that position, especially over the ball – so Texas is in go-for-it mode. And as a Texas fan, I want Texas – if I would want Texas to be in go-for-it mode because they know they have a chance to do something real next year, building off of last year. If you don't make these moves this year and you just go with unproven youth and you don't end up making the playoff, what are Texas fans going to be saying then?
Should have been taken – why didn't you take defensive tackles? That's what they're going to say. That's what I would say. As a pundit of sorts, right? So, Doug, look, you can say all you want about trying to play young defensive tackles. Oh, well, you're taking away opportunities from recruits. No, you're not. You're taking – those guys need to earn their snaps just like everybody else. And if you're not championship level yet, then you haven't earned them. That's my point. Even if Jonte Cook was a 5-star receiver. He sat last year behind 2 guys that are going to be in the first round. I mean, that's the nature of things. Whenever you're playing on a good team, And recruits should understand that and be happy for it. And frankly, I'll say this too. Like Jonathan Brooks, shouldn't he be happy at some level that he didn't have more wear and tear on his body? You know, the ultimate payoff here is not NIL. The ultimate payoff is two contracts in the NFL. And one less year of wear and tear on your body ultimately will help Jonathan Brooks. And it'll help other linemen and offense, all these guys. They'll be able to put more armor on. We talked about this. And protect themselves and be ready to play when they're, you know, when they're called upon.
And I'll say this.
5 to 10 snaps to wet their beak. That's not what I'm talking. I'm talking about, you know, true ready to go type situation.
And I'll add in this. I actually think it would help your 2025 high school D-line recruiting, because the guys taking the majority of the snaps next year are 1 year transfer players and out the gate. So kids look at it a little different than we do. The kids would look at it as, hey, I have a chance. They're losing all these guys that played this many snaps and don't think these teams don't use it in recruiting as well, with the understanding it's a developmental position. D-line, interior D-line, is always going to be a developmental position. There are very few guys you can look at that came into college football as 18/19-year-olds that tore it up as freshmen. It's still a developmental position.
Hey, I want to say this. I want to add this real quick about as it relates to Alex January, for example. It doesn't mean that he's – look, they are all – most of these guys, most of the players on the team are super competitive, okay? So they want to be on the field. There's no doubt. They're like, oh, well, you're telling me he can't play and he wants to play. That's not – we get that. I think that everybody needs to understand. I'm not saying that they don't want to play and that's not what they want to do. But if I'm looking at it and I'm saying 3 to 4 years down the road, he kind of wets his beak this year and then gets going. And as he adds more weight and adds more definition, I mean, he's just so, these guys are young and they're trying to play against 22 and 23 year olds. I mean, look, Jake Majors has been in a college weight program for 5 years. Right? I mean, look at Christian Jones. He was in 6 years. Those guys have it's not, and I'm not saying that Alex isn't a future NFL guy, because I think he actually is. I'm just saying it takes time. And wanting a recruit to play right away and you're taking time away, man, what's best for the team ultimately? And at some level, what's best for those young guys? Is it best for Sadir Mitchell to go out there and play 50 plays a game or 40 plays a game when he's 370 pounds? He can't do it. You won't get the best play out of him. He doesn't have that endurance right now. So why do you need more nose tackles? Because you don't have enough. That's the reality of it. You don't have enough right now.
Jerry, we need you to tell folks out there about how they can get enough with Manscaped.
Look, this is a huge day in On Texas football history. This is my first Manscaped read live on the University of Texas campus. And I'm not talking about Bobby and Jerry being back in Austin. Call them what you want, knee knockers, golden nuggets, thigh slappers, etc. But our friends at Manscaped refer to them as the boys. Not every man has children, but every man is responsible for those two boys below the waist. When your little guys have more hair than they need, trust Manscaped for all your grooming dreams. Boys need love too, so join the 10 million men plus worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com and use code ONTEXAS, all caps, for 20% off plus free shipping. You heard it here first. The boys are back in town, and I'm not breaking out my Manscaped here in public at the UT campus, but you know it made the trip with me. It goes in the car. If I'm in the car, the Manscaped's in the car. This right here is the cutting edge on cutting pubes. Upgrade your ball trimmer, and your life will follow. Again, manscaped.com. Use code ONTEXAS for 20% off. That's also, we're introducing the Lawnmower family, including the Lawnmower 3.0 Plus, the 4.0 Pro, and the 5.0 Ultra. One would be, he'd be bored by himself. Just get all three.
Jerry, you bring You bring good humor in the morning. We were visiting, Jerry and I were visiting with an advertising group yesterday. And Jerry, you bring the goods each and every read, my man. Hey, I want to say thank you real quick. Trevor Craig, Blake said something that his brother and sister-in-law own the victory lap, and they can't wait for people to come out. Trevor, I don't think I talked to the owner, but if you don't mind passing on our personal thanks for allowing us to come out on Saturday, please do so. We're excited about doing it. Rod Babers, myself, Jerry, you'll be there as well. Blake's going to be in line with his kid, I think, trying to get autographs. So not Blake, but some other people will be there as well. Please stop by 11 to 12. We'll be on the air with a pregame show, obviously. But please stop by and say hello. Have a brew or something before the game, and then head on over for you. Thanks again, Trevor, and please pass along our thank you to them.
And we have a super chat here from Jay Lee. Thank you, Jay. Zach, I'll get to your question in a second. He says, don't manscape and drive or do?
I have not tried that, and I don't plan on trying that.
And if you did, you wouldn't admit it, right?
Oh, gosh, no. Oh, no, I would. Wait.
Don't encourage it, Blake. Do not encourage it, Blake.
I like to stoke the flames a little bit when it comes to Jerry every now and again. Oh, man.
See, that's Travis Acton. With a Tesla, it wouldn't be a problem. That's correct.
With a Tesla.
That's the plan. Say somebody has a Tesla, go order your 3, 4, and 5.0s and give it a try and tell us how it goes.
Oh, man. Oh, God. Okay. Anyway, here we go. Zach says, any idea who's signing autographs? So from my personal experience with my kids, they break the whole team up into three different groups is how they've done it since Sark's been there. And, basically, you get in one long, long line, as Jerry can attest, seeing me in last year, and you just randomly get put in a group. So you don't know whose group you're going to be in. You know, you may have, and it's not like quarterbacks all in one group and wide receivers, like they're evenly broken up. My best advice, Texas probably won't want me saying this, if there's a player you really want, get your kids to ask them for an autograph, and usually they will sign it if they're not in your group.
And it's more than just the football players. Whoever's in town.
Yeah, that's another good point.
Yeah. If they're, I mean, I know baseball's got games. They might not have a long line right now. But football, they walk the players down from the Moncrief back behind me across the street, which you can see. And then they have the tent set up on the north, I guess the west side is what that would be. And they have to, so the players walk down through all the fans across the street. And then they have a couple of tents set up where they all sit. And you walk on both either side to get autographs from all the Texas football players, basketball players, men's and women's. They'll all be tennis. Anybody who's in town will be around Bevo Boulevard tomorrow. So there's autograph opportunities for everybody.
And once again, my advice to everybody, if you're getting in that autograph line, get there early. Like I said, that line gets long in a hurry. I need to find that picture from last year that we had. But it definitely gets long. All right, guys, we got a lot of questions here. Joe Z says, hook on from Rapid City, South Dakota. Jerry Hamilton, I need you to tell me that we are getting three highs this weekend.
I already gave one high on TexasFootball.com earlier this week, and I stand by that high. Let's see who makes it to campus tomorrow. Let's see who makes it to campus. I got my on. A guy or two if they show up tomorrow and Texas makes the big push. Three's not out. And I don't think it all happens this weekend, but three's not out of the question. Let's just see who shows up tomorrow.
Hey, Jerry, Jackson Christian, the offensive lineman from Port Neches Groves, came in for a second time on Tuesday. It sounds like he's going to push out his decision a little bit, may take official visits after all right now. Is that what you're hearing?
Yeah, well, I think it could be. I'm not sure he lasts until July. August, like a lot of kids will. But I'm also not sure he makes all his official visits. He's got two set, A&M and Texas, back-to-back weekends in June. I could see him being a prospect that's moving off his timeline and could do something, in May before the June official visit process. I could see that happen. And it's going to be Texas or it's going to be Texas A&M. It's going to be one of the two out of Jackson Christian out of Port Neches Groves. So we'll see which way it goes. A&M is fighting really hard on these offensive linemen because, you look, Texas had to have a great class of OLs in 2022. A&M has to do the same in 2025 for the future of their program. They have, it's a really good offensive line year in Texas. A&M's better win some of those battles. That's all I'll say, because it's a good year, and they have to do it. I expect Texas to take 5 offensive linemen in this class. So they have 10 scheduled for official visits, and I think Texas will have a very good class of offensive linemen.
Hey, guys, we got another super chat we need to get to, and then we'll talk a little baseball after that. Robert Muhammad, thank you, Robert, for the super chat. Which running back gets 1,000 yards or more rushing, and who's going to lead the wide receivers when it comes to touchdowns?
I don't know. I'm going to go with Cedric Baxter, 1K rushing. I just think he fits what Sark likes to do, guys. He is that heavy inside zone runner. And I know people are going to say, but Jaden Blue has been looking great in practice. The thing about Jaden Blue is he's been lining up a lot in the slot in practice, not just as a two-back. So they'll be in a two-back set and then motion him or put him in the slot. And now I think that here's a possibility. Jaden Blue may have more total yards from scrimmage.
All-purpose yards, yep.
Yeah, that's a possibility. But I could see a situation where both are around 1,000-plus yards altogether in rushing and receiving. What about,
and by the way, like,
receiving for receiving?
So, like, if Jaden Blue rushed for 700, 750, and caught 500 yards in passes, that wouldn't be a surprise to me. I mean, look, you got to remember here, the thing about Jaden, too, is he's never had more than 10 carries in a game in college. So this is – he's got to prove that if he carries the football more, he touches the football more, he can stay healthy as well. He's never been asked to do that. So this is going to be a big ask for him. What helps him is he's going into year 3 in a college strength and conditioning program, and he's added really good strength and weight to his frame. But I could see him having more of that, Bobby, all-purpose yards type of season, because he has such good hands out of the backfield. But I'll say this, Trey Weiser's had a really good spring too, and the two freshmen are very good as well. So what that tells us all, I think you're, as Rod calls it, you're going to see more pony package this year, especially in the SEC.
Who's going to lead the team in wide receiver TDs? That was the other part of that question, Jerry. What do you think on that one?
If there's a lot of 4th-and-31 plays, Isaiah Bond.
What about that one?
I'm going to go with Isaiah Bond, because I think Isaiah Bond has the most production in his career. I think Isaiah Bond he's going to be such – his speed is going to really scare people. I think he's going to have a lot of opportunities. I think Isaiah Bond is going to be the guy that catches the most touchdown passes for Texas this year.
I'll go with Jontae Cook. I'll go with Jontae Cook. I think he has a – I think he's got a little bit – like, Isaiah Bond is a more physically gifted receiver than Jontae Cook because of his speed. I think Jontae Cook is a better receiver ultimately than Isaiah Bond, and that will matter in the red zone in particular. So that's where I come out on it.
So let me ask you all this. How many, I know obviously tied in with Nye Black, but how many touchdowns do you think he catches over the course of the season?
Nye Black and Helm both, or just one or the other?
Let's say just Nye Black.
6 to 7.
I'll tell you what, he walked by us yesterday, not in a uniform. He's carrying a little more weight than we think.
Hey, Jerry, did you?
He looks good physically now.
So, for you guys that don't know this, Amari Nye Black is like an avid fisherman. Like, he goes out almost every day and fishes in Lady Bird Lake.
He grew up in St. Petersburg, Florida. He better have had cast a line.
Yeah, he is a. So just so you know, he is an avid fisherman. So maybe he and Vic Schaefer need to go on a little boat tour. That would be an excellent episode for Longhorn Network.
And that's also probably a key, other than playing for Nick Saban, why he picked Alabama out of high school. Nick probably took him to his lake house and gave him about 3 rods and reels, said, I'll see you in a couple hours.
But seriously, I was told that he tries to fish every day.
Oh, yeah. Where he grew up, there's unbelievable sport fishing where he grew up. When I lived in Jupiter, Florida, one of the sport fishing capitals all down that Florida coast. So he grew up around some big time fishing.
Hey, Blake, it's time for us to do our baseball segment. I'm going to lead you into it. Baseball segment brought to you by our friends at Chinook Cedary. Blake, take it away, bud.
Yeah, so this weekend, and I'm going to take that down for a minute, TCU coming to Austin to play Texas, guys. You know, obviously both of these teams were picked as the top two teams in the Big 12, and it's been anything but. It is interesting this weekend, however, that LBJ will be back in the weekend rotation for the Longhorns, but instead of Fridays like we've seen him, he'll be starting on Sunday. Friday night, you'll have Grubb, Saturday, Whitehead, and then, like I said, LBJ on Sunday. These games originally scheduled to be on ESPN this weekend, but then both teams sucked, so they put one on ESPN2, ESPNU, and then the Longhorn Network, I believe, gets the Sunday game. But
it suck a little hard.
I don't think, right?
They're still in conference.
But for the expectations, and then after this past week, I don't know, man. I mean, it's tough. And let me tell you this, Texas isn't the only team with an embarrassing loss on Tuesday, as TCU lost to Abilene Christian on Tuesday as well. And I got to looking at it, TCU has only won two games this month, both of those at home, which got me looking a little bit further. They're terrible on the road. I mean, there's no other way to put it. At home, 16-4, very strong. On the road, they are 3-9 this season. TCU is awful on the road. That's good news for Texas. Texas is obviously going to have some big bats going this weekend, as they've kind of needed all season due to pitching. But a lot of people thinking, oh, TCU is going to come in, they're going to, you know, have their way with Texas. I don't think so. Maybe if this game was in Fort Worth, I'd be all for that. I would be totally in line with that thinking. TCU is awful on the road. There's no other way to put it. So I can see the series going either way. I can see Texas sweeping. I don't think TCU will sweep, just the road record shows otherwise. But I don't think TCU is going to come in like a lot of people are thinking, that Texas is just going to lay down now after this past Tuesday. I do not see that happening. I'm not saying that either one's a great baseball team, because right now neither one is playing great baseball. But I think it'll be a fun series, just not, you know.
Hope they get a chance to play it. Hope they get a chance to play. Yes. Hope that too.
You know, with the rain, I mean, you never know what's going to happen. We might see a doubleheader like on Sunday or something like that due to Saturdays. But, you know, there was so much anticipation for this weekend. Spring game, top two teams in the Big 12 going to duke it out. And obviously the spring game's there, but now the rain's kind of put a damper on that. And then both of these teams, and one and two team in the Big 12, are, you know, TCU way down the list, and then Texas, as you said, Bobby, I think four in the Big 12. So we'll see what happens.
All right, let's take a second and reset the portal, because we have
to. Before we do that, Jerry, I need to tell folks out there about Chinook. Real
yes, you do.
Quick.
Just don't spit them on the just don't spit them on your floorboard on the drive down. Tell everybody about Chinook.
All right, it's baseball season, guys. If you're like me, you have to have sunflower seeds. Chinook Cedary has you covered. They have 8 unique flavors to choose from. You definitely will be able to find a flavor you love. I know I have. They have crafted the best tasting sunflower seeds on the planet, and their unique flavors are made from real foods and real spices. That means real Parmesan cheese, authentic Hatch chilies, and freshly harvested dill. Whether you're actually in the game or just watching it, go grab a bag of Chinook. You can find them in your favorite store or go online, chinookcedary.com. Get yourself an order. They have the variety pack. You can get everything that they have there. And don't forget, seeds the day with Chinook. Now then.
Now you can reset, Jerry, with all your people. Jerry looks like he may be reading an important text at this point.
No. I was texting Manscaped, said it's the best product ever. All right, so here's the deal. Big portal news yesterday. Feet on fire. A lot of things going on in the portal. Jay Toya from UCLA announced he was going in the portal yesterday. That's big because Texas wants Jay Toya. 6'2", 325. Originally was going to USC, ended up at UCLA. He has a history with Johnny Nansen. Johnny Nansen recruited him in high school, coached him for a year at UCLA before Nansen went on to Arizona to become the D coordinator of what ended up being a 10-win team there with 7 straight wins in the season. But that's big news. I expect him on campus soon. When is that soon? I think there's a visit. We'll see when that gets put out publicly. Bill Norton, transfer from Arizona via Georgia, via Christian Brothers in Memphis. I keep mentioning Christian Brothers because I think that's where Sexton's sons went to high school. One of those was a walk-on in golf at Texas. I don't know if you want to connect dots, but maybe we'll have fun with that. Bill Norton is already on campus. CJ Vogel, our CJ Vogel, broke the news that he was going to visit a couple of days ago. Bill Norton's already in Austin. Assume he's back here in the facility behind me, getting the rundown from Johnny Nance and PK and meeting Kenny Baker and sitting next to Savea and all those guys. But Bill Norton on campus, I'd be surprised if he doesn't end up at Texas. I like Texas chances with Toya. Dominic Williams out of TCU in the portal, obviously. Texas all in on Dominic Williams, big-time player. Him and Toya are future NFL draft picks. Dominic Williams will be at Oklahoma this weekend. Oklahoma will really try to apply pressure to get this done this weekend because Texas visit is Tuesday, Wednesday. That's not what you want to be looking up at. Then Colorado, which, I mean, I don't know if anybody's going to be in the Colorado facility when he's there. I don't know who's going to be left. Then there's LSU scheduled to get a visit as well, possibly Oregon. Interesting that Oregon's going to try to make a play there. But Dominic Williams, the kid that he camped at Texas, he hoped to get an offer from Texas. He was one of those kids that the Blue Bloods didn't really take coming out of high school. It was similar to Byron Murphy. Well, is he tall enough? Is he big enough? I don't know. But then he goes to TCU, and obviously now everybody wants him when he hits the portal. He's a future NFL draft pick. If Texas got 2 out of 3, that'd be really good. And I do think Texas, Bobby, would take all three of the guys if they wanted to come.
We've talked about Texas needs help at defensive tackle this whole time, and people, oh no, they're better situated than you realize. That's not.
I think they are at 3 technique, right? But it's over the ball.
Yeah. They're young there. They're just young. Or the older guys aren't necessarily perfectly situated to be the guy at that position.
Yeah. All right, we have a super chat, fellas. And it says CDC just tweeted that they will give it a go, and the reports they receive have been chances of light rain.
That's awesome.
Yeah, that would be phenomenal.
Look, we want to see these young guys. We want to see Colin Simmons screaming off the edge. We want to see sophomore Manny Muhammad. Man, by the way, Manny Muhammad in the player interviews yesterday was so impressive. The kid is a pro. That was the first time they put him in front of the mic, I believe. He's a pro in a college, soon-to-be sophomore body. But he is a pro in his mind. That is what you want to keep. Those are the type of guys you want to recruit as many of them as you can at Texas. Look, and I've told this story about Manny Muhammad a few times. I emceed his commitment up at South Oak Cliff High School. And I was told that Nick Saban was on the phone with him and his family an hour and a half the night before he announced, just trying to get him to push that back, get back to campus one last time. That tells you how good Manny Muhammad is.
I've got another thing. So people don't know, every spring game, me and some of my college friends get together, spend about 4 days together, 3 days together, around the spring game, rent a house, do this whole thing. And I literally was talking to my college roommate this morning about how impressive Manny Muhammad was yesterday in that interview, Jerry, just so you know, just to reinforce what you said earlier. And then I want to take it a step further and talk about what you and I have been told. This is how Manny Muhammad thinks about football. Before the first day of spring practice, he asked the coaches for the installation tape from last year's spring practice so he could go ahead and see it ahead of time about what he was going to be doing on the field and try to figure out what he needed to be working on prior to even the practice. I mean, he's scouting his practice. He's a little bit – he's cut a little different way. Right? Look, that's what I will say. He's
just, and I don't, I'm not comparing him as a player. And I want to make this clear. I'm not saying he's going to be a borderline future Hall of Fame player. That's the same things they said about Earl Thomas in the way he attacked football during his redshirt year at Texas. I remember Will Muschamp once told me he was the first guy and the last guy out, and he wanted to study the game more than all the other guys that were starting. Same thing they say about Manny. Does that mean he's going to go on and be a potential Hall of Fame player? I'm not saying that. But what I am saying, he's got the same pro mindset at a young age.
Yeah,
And those guys may not be the best athlete or the biggest guy, but those guys play a decade and make a lot of money doing it.
No, they may not be a top. It's like you said, because he's not a four-three guy, Jerry. He may not be a top 15 pick. Well, guess what? Neither was Quandre Diggs.
Right.
And all he's doing is sitting around cashing big checks, playing football.
By the way, I love Colt Monroe's his super chat. He's spending his dad's Chick-fil-A money. So
he's literally right here. I mean, he's 6 feet from me, putting in a howdy super chat.
As
he has some X-rays scheduled here in just a minute. So thanks, son, for doing that. Hey, we got a first, before we get to this question, Bobby, can you tell folks out there about the good folks at BKCW one more time?
Yeah, absolutely. Our Friday sponsor, presenting sponsor, is BKCW, and they've been with us now, I think, for 6, 7, 8 months, operating out of their headquarters in Austin, Texas, and owned by UT grads. BKCW uses a 5-step process to identify your business's weak spots. This is about insurance here. Design a plan, execute it, and monitor your situation throughout the year so that you can lower your insurance costs and effectively manage your company's risk. BKCW has already helped some of the most well-known construction companies, restaurant groups, breweries, et cetera, in Central Texas escape the insurance trap. So if your business is looking for a new insurance proposition or just wants to get more information, go to bkcw.com or send them an email, info@bkcw.com, to get started with a free risk assessment or claims audit and escape the insurance trap. Thank you, BKCW, for your ongoing sponsorship of Coffee and Football. Hook them, and thank you very much.
Horn 7 said, steal home, Colt. The one thing Ryan Day hadn't done at Ohio State yet. Let's see if he can get it done this year. He started on third base.
He was born on third base, Jerry.
Man. And that's enough encouraging my son in the chat to keep on with the super.
Hey, Colt, hit me up on DM me after the show's over. We're going to have some fun.
Notice that his super chat off his card is $1.99, and then the one he does off mine is $5. So funny how that works out. All right, guys, we got a question here from Naaman Roberts that I like. He says, hook them from New Caney, Texas. Jerry and Bobby, who are y'all looking at the most tomorrow that will give you the most confidence that this team will be in a good place?
Receivers. For me.
So you're not going to see a lot of Quinn Ewers, Alfred Kahn. I don't think you're going to see a lot of some of these guys tomorrow, which that's actually like for the spring game. I want to watch the 24 new faces. I think it's edge guys, Bobby, because Baron Searle probably won't play a lot of snaps, but Ethan Burke, what does he look like heading into year three? Trey Moore, Colin Simmons. What does Colton Vosick look like? Does he look healthy? What does he look like? Because I think edge pass rush is really going to be the key to Texas this season. I expect Texas to be good on offense. The running backs are tremendous. Offensive line's more experienced. I think Cam Williams is a big one. But is Texas going to – not PFF pressures. I like the stats. I've heard enough about it. I don't care anymore. And you're not going to get the hits on the quarterback, but do these guys look like they're going to get more hits on the quarterback and – going to get quarterback to the ground more, not without bringing numbers of in pressure? If you get that feel tomorrow, Texas is going to be really good next year.
I'm a little, by the way, you're right. We know that Quinn Ewers is going to be on a pitch count. Yep. And so are some of these elder statesmen for the Longhorns. No doubt. Quinn Ewers, third year starter, going to be on a pitch count. My take on it, Jerry, for that question is more wide receivers. I'm really concerned about that. They still have we talked about it. Texas is losing two first rounders. Yes, Texas is talented at wide receiver, but those guys got to take that next step, Jerry.
Yeah.
And so between now and the first game, I want to see the receivers and where they're at in that process, so that they can become what Texas is going to need and what Quinn Ewers is going to need to lead this team to 10-plus wins this year.
And I think I'll say this too, especially with Worthy and Whittington, and we've talked about this before, more than the talent that Worthy and Mitchell were lost in their graduation or heading to the NFL, it's the years of experience in Sark's system for Worthy and Whittington. Matthew Gold, Isaiah Bond's tremendously talented, future draft pick. Matthew Gold, probably future draft pick, right? Silas Bolden's not here, so that puts him behind. Ryan Wingo, very talented freshman. But how quick are they picking up? Sark runs a complicated scheme for wide receivers, especially pre-snap. He asks a lot of those guys, where are they at in the process? The key for me is Sark and Quinn are entering year three together. Isaiah Bond, Matthew Golden, Silas Bolden when he gets here, Ryan Wingo, all those guys are entering year one in this system. And in 15 practices is great, but that's not enough to really get comfortable and start, be comfortable with those guys pre-snap and really be able to bring out his entire script. So I think you're going to see a limited script, maybe even early in the season, guys, until these guys are Sark feels confident in where they're at.
Add Amari Nyblack to that list.
Same thing. Yep.
Newcomers, too, at a similar receiving position, just tight end.
All right, so we have a another super chat here, and I'm going to read this one from Christian Kruger. He says, hey, Colt, go Astros and hook them. My son is a Rangers fan, I will say, and a Phillies fan, too. So, and then I'm going to read y'all this question, then I got to bow out to take him to go get said x-rays. And this
And we've got to go as well, so this will be our final question.
We'll make this the last one, and then I'm going to let Bobby close out the show so I can hit the road. Other than defensive tackle, what position do you think Sark will go after in the portal, or do you think he'll just basically go after the best available players?
Blake, I'll take this. You can go ahead and go, bud.
Have a good weekend, everybody.
We'll see you tomorrow, Blake.
See you tomorrow. See y'all. Bye. Right,
hey, Colt Monroe, thanks for spending your money with OTF.
hey, what player, what position, Jerry? I think that it's defensive tackle, and potentially defensive tackle. The other one might be punter. Now, to add to that, we've talked about a best player available scenario, maybe a linebacker that has had 110 tackles, maybe another wide receiver that is a top 10 pick, or a cornerback. Like if the guy from Michigan were going to the portal, Texas might be interested. But the other piece of this puzzle is going to be a guy that they think is a high draft pick, if there is such a thing, right? It may be nothing, to your point. So that's where I'm at on this is I feel like Texas is going to go maybe punter, yeah, definitely defensive tackle, and then maybe nothing or maybe something, all dependent on, as he put it there, best player available.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, recapping real quick, Bill Norton, defensive tackle out of Arizona, already on campus. We're waiting to hear more on Jay Toya, the defensive tackle out of UCLA that Texas is interested in. We can confirm that. Also, the Dominic Williams out of TCU is set to visit OU this weekend. And then Texas, I believe, on Sunday through Tuesday or Monday through Wednesday, one of the two. Those three guys seem to be priorities already just 4 days into the portal opening. As well, Texas has a number of players beginning to arrive on campus. There's going to be some kids here that are coming in on Friday and then staying over Saturday for the spring game. Jerry, you're on campus for that. Anything you want to add to this the day before we get going here for the 2024 spring game?
No, I think it's a huge recruiting weekend. Hopefully all these guys make it in. You know, you always worry a couple out-of-state guys might not make it in. I think of all the guys the highly ranked guys get the attention. KJ Lacy and Keelan Russell, there's always questions about those guys. They get attention. We'll see if Texas offers Keelan Russell this weekend or later on, if they offer a second quarterback in this class. But the big one to me, one to watch is a kid like Derry Norris, because he's the defensive lineman out of Spruce Creek in Port Orange. He's making the visit with his father. He's a guy that Kenny Baker really likes and Texas really likes. They offered him without seeing him in person. Okay, so a kid like that, getting him on campus, I love these high three stars that end up being four-star D linemen in Florida that are kind of off the radar, that kind of pop up later on. The state of Florida produces a lot of those guys, and Derry Norris, he may not be ranked up with the best in the country, but his talent level upside, he's got a lot of it now. So guys like that are making a visit as well. I think Nick Brooks from Iowa, if he follows through and makes that visit, we'll see what happens there, because the offensive lineman from Cedar Rapids at JFK, he has his June 14th through 16th official visit scheduled. And if he comes in, has a great time, and he becomes in play, you know, Texas right now looks like they could take four or five in-state offensive linemen, but could he be a guy that could affect that number a little bit? Because it's a great offensive line class in-state. And then James Simon, the running back out of Shreveport, Calvary Baptist, is one to watch, I think, with LSU taking two running backs. If Texas makes a big push there, that means they're pretty much saying Jordan Davidson's going to Ohio State, because Jordan Davidson's been number one on the board.
All right. Hey, Jerry, one last question before we get going here. Dax Kelmo, so in your opinion, is Ethan Burke a 3- or 4-year player at Texas? I'm going to say 4-year. That's me. I'll let you answer it.
I tend to lean to 4 years, and he won't make the year one, year two jump, the same year jump to year two, year three. If he does that, he's a first-round pick, right? But I do think he's going to have a good enough season where he'll have a decision to make as a mid-round pick. He's going to be – some mocks are going to have him in the first round, and I don't know if I see that, Bobby, but I do think he may have a mid-round decision to make. Do you go after 3 or stay for your 4th?
I think that's a fair that's fair. I think he's going to be a 4-year most likely, because I still think he has some growing to do.
Yes, physically. I agree physically.
And he came in as that dual-sport athlete, and so he wasn't, you know, hyper-focused on the weight room to really build up his body, because he wanted to be able to run for lacrosse, you know. So I think that's where I come out on that. Hey, guys, thanks for all the super chat. Dax, Christian Cougar, Colt Monroe, Damian, Robert Muhammad, Jay Lee, Travis Cadell. We appreciate you guys so much. Another one from Jay Lee as well. Appreciate y'all. Look,
all the guys on Twitter that jump in, click like, click subscribe. Thank you to all the Texas fans. Hey, and I saw a few Michigan fans in the chat. Thanks for the support as well. I can't wait till you bring thousands of your friends Michigan game week. But thank you so much. We look forward to meeting a lot of you guys for the first time at Victory Lap from 11 to 12 tomorrow. And thank you for all you guys do for us, man. Y'all have a great Friday, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Hey, Jerry, I'll see you in a little bit. Also, thanks to our sponsors, BKCW. Remember, if you've got business insurance and you want to get out of the insurance trap, BKCW.com, or email them at info@BKCW. Then also Manscaped, Jerry's favorite, as well as Factor and Chinook Cedary, a local cedary that has really good sunflower seeds. For Jerry Hamilton, Blake Monroe, who's out the door taking his son to an x-ray, and me, Bobby Burton, thanks for listening and watching Coffee and Football on Texas Football. Hook 'em and have a good weekend. Let's enjoy tomorrow, guys.